bet Clay Ferrero's a super freak.
We got a bunch of kids. He knows what he's doing with
that right.
thing now.
Super freak.
So whipped cream, syrup, caramel.
Those of us here at Entercom South Florida, the Miami Heat, and the Miami Cancer Institute are continuing our partnership to find a cure for cancer. Coming up on November 16th, it's the Dribble Drive against cancer. You've got the Dribble Drive Challenge. Goes 13.8 miles from the Miami Cancer Institute in Kendall to the American Airlines Arena. There's the Dribble Drive from Biscaya to the arena and the Dribble Dash, which is around the perimeter of the arena. And you can form teams now or you can make a donation at heathelpcure.org. Think Clay Ferrero is dressed up for Halloween?
If the job made him, yeah, but not regularly. He's a professional.
I disagree. I think he loves Halloween with a passion. We're going to go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line, where they are truly steps beyond convenience. We do 15 minutes of Heat every day around this time. Heat are in Atlanta tonight. They tore up the Hawks on Tuesday night. Although Trae Young missed most of the game, and I guess he'll miss tonight as well. 15 minutes of Heat brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Here is Clay Ferrero from Local 10, sports anchor, sports reporter. Are you dressed up for Halloween?
I am, actually. And I know we talked about this a few months ago, but you know, when I was a kid and in my high school years, I was a little overweight. But I was always a Saints fan growing up. So you guys will appreciate this. When I was a kid, I had one of those old school starter Pat Swilling jerseys. Remember Pat Swilling, the linebacker for the New Orleans Saints?
Yes.
Well, I kept it. And this was, I mean, Swilling played for the Saints back early 90s. So we're talking like 91, 92. I still got it. So that is my Halloween costume. I wear my Pat Swilling jersey from when I was like 12, 13 years old because I can still fit into it.
Now, let me get a ruling on this from Alejandro Solana. He's our Halloween expert. He won funniest costume today at the Entercom Miami lunch. He's very proud of this. He's dressed as Abuela with it's like, you know, the when Little Red Riding Hood tried to get, I think she did get fooled by the wolf.
Yeah, he got her.
But, I mean, it just looked like a wolf with a house coat on.
Yeah.
Like, Little Red Riding Hood, not the sharpest.
She wasn't a smart girl.
But anyway, Solana, is Clay Ferrero's costume technically a Halloween costume? He's wearing a jersey.
Can't reuse costumes.
But it's not a costume, it's a jersey. Like, is that even a costume?
No, it's not.
But if you dress up as a football, baseball, or basketball player, what do you want? A jersey? That's
well, no, but
need.
If he's wearing football pants and shoulder pads and whatnot, but if you threw on a Pat Swilling jersey, you're not dressed as Pat Swilling. You're just a guy wearing a jersey.
A little eye black.
Did you put eye black on? Did you put eye black on?
Well, I am now since I've been shamed into it. Now I will.
I'm with you,
Clay. It could be worse. I could go as a sports reporter.
So you're just
on just my normal work outfit. I mean, that would be.
But let's be real here. You threw on a jersey. That's not a costume.
Did you do anything else
to look like Pat Swilling?
No, our entire lives revolve around how are we going to get our kids ready for Halloween tonight. So, like, we're always an afterthought.
All right. Well, hopefully, I've sucked some of the fun out of it for you. That was my intention.
I'm glad you didn't put on blackface, Clay.
Hold on, let me see. Is Pat Swilling black?
Yeah, you're black, dude. Yeah, yeah.
I did not picture.
Great decision, Clay.
I pictured Pat Swilling to be like Mel Sharples from Alice. I had no idea. Wow. Well, good. Clay, I stand corrected. You know what Pat Swilling reminds me of now that I'm really thinking about it?
What's that?
Philip Wheeler. Philip Wheeler a little bit.
Philip Wheeler looks more like me than Pat Swilling.
I was teasing Crowder. He didn't wear a costume today. And I said, oh, you're dressed as Philip Wheeler.
I'll take that. Manny Ramirez. I'm just a retired athlete.
That's a good one. So a quick Manny Ramirez story, because I know this works for our 15 minutes of Heat.
I think he's gone to a couple Heat games.
When I was in Fort Myers, we would cover the Red Sox for spring training, since they were kind of Fort Myers' team along with the Twins. And Manny Ramirez would show up to spring training whenever he wanted. Sometimes it was like a week early. Sometimes it was like 2 weeks late. And nobody would know when Manny was showing up. And so David Ortiz was maybe the only guy on the team who was, I don't want to say the only one who was friends with Manny, but the only one close enough that he would talk to him like outside of baseball. So David Ortiz was always on time, and so he shows up for the first day that the position players report. And so we're all gathered around David Ortiz, and of course one of the Boston guys says, so have you talked to Manny? Do you know when Manny's going to show up? And Ortiz goes, nope, haven't talked to Manny. And so the guy goes, well, what, he didn't have a cell phone? And Ortiz goes, nope, Manny's too cheap. He didn't want to pay for a cell phone plan.
I like Manny.
Manny Ramirez had just signed a $160 million contract, and there's Big Poppy telling all of us that Manny was too cheap to have a cell phone. He didn't want to pay roaming charges, but he can sign a $160 million contract.
I always like, you know, people go, oh, Manny Ramirez, like, look at him. He always had so much fun out there. Yeah, he had fun out there. He showed up at spring training whenever he felt like it. He called all the shots. Yeah, he had a lot of fun. I'd like to have a radio show where if I feel like waltzing in at 3:30 and leaving at 4:15, I do that. And no one can say anything to me. All right, let me get into 15 minutes of heat, though. Here we go. Clay Ferrero, Local 10, Tyler Hero. He balled out on Tuesday night. Tuesday night was like the Tyler Hero game, and he came off the bench, too. Too early to say he's the real deal, or can we definitively say, what has it been, four games?
Yeah.
Can we definitively say he was a steal where they got him?
Well, he's already outscored Dwayne Wade, I think, in every game, right, from his rookie year. So I think we can definitively say that Tyler Hero is definitely better than Dwayne Wade. I'm not sure about catching Michael Jordan yet, though. I mean, we're sure to hold off on the Michael Jordan stuff, but you're definitely the best player in Heat history. So to be determined, I'm not going to get all hot takey and all crazy and say he's the best player in NBA history yet. But I think what we've seen out of him is exactly what you thought he would be after, I don't know, I would say summer league, where you saw he's got that stroke. But then what I think has been really impressive is the way that he's able to get his shot against other NBA defenders. Because that was always my question is, okay, we know when he's left wide open, he can shoot, and there's no doubt about that. But what happens when he has to go up against guys who aren't going to be selling insurance in a couple of months like he was in the summer league? So when you're actually going up against NBA caliber defenders, can you still get that shot? And I think it was Cooper Moorhead from the Heat that did this great video breakdown of him and how he's able to, kind of with a step back, get his feet set in the exact same position every time. And, you know, that's kind of what separates your spot-up shooters, which I think Justice Winslow has made himself into a very good spot-up shooter. If you leave him wide alone with his feet set, he can hit something. But Hero has shown this ability to kind of create that separation, which for a guy who one of the concerns about him is his arm length isn't very long. So getting his own shot was supposedly a bit of a concern, but now he's figuring out a way to create that distance. So I like what I've seen out of him. I think certainly you can be happy and the early returns are, yeah, he's going to be better than where you got him. But yeah, I'm not going to jump all on board and say he is the next Heat superstar quite yet.
I don't want to upset people with this question, Clay, but isn't it more impressive what Kendrick Nunn's doing? Undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
He was with the Sikkawa Falls Warriors or something last year. Like, he's balling right now.
Yeah, and that's another one that, you know, we had the conversation in our newsroom. One of our bosses came over and said, you know, you guys told me all about Tyler Hero, but why not Kendrick Nunn? How did you guys not see this? And I think a big part of it is, you know, look, it's kind of like and Channing knows this, when you're playing the preseason and you got guys out there in the fourth quarter who are running for 150 yards against, you know, again, guys who aren't going to be in the NFL in a couple of weeks. Like, okay, the numbers are nice, but what happens when you start going against defenders who are legitimate lockdown NBA defenders? So when we saw him doing this at Sioux Falls, when you saw him doing this in summer league, and it wasn't like Hero where it was, okay, you kind of know that skill set. It was none kind of breaking guys down and getting to the basket, but how is that going to translate? So I would say he's been the bigger surprise in that he's able to do against NBA players what I think we wondered if he'd be able to do. And yeah, I mean, it's my understanding was he was going to be the starter this year, no matter what, opening night, that the Jimmy Butler paternity leave, whatever you want to call it, that allowed Hero to start, and Nunn was always going to be the guy. that was going to be that two guard. And who knows, maybe that played in Deion Waiters not being happy. But, I think he's certainly lived up to that to this point.
You mentioned Deion Waiters. Clay Ferraro is with us from Local 10. How much do you think the Heat's success so far, and they have looked very good. I mean, again, only four games, but they've looked very good. How much do you think the Heat's success has to do with them jettisoning problems, headaches? Hassan Whiteside, you know, I've maintained all throughout the summer and whatnot, he was a problem for Spo because he had to find minutes for him. He had to be worried about a guy that was making that much money, couldn't just have him riding the bench. And Deion Waiters, they've seemingly jettisoned him, for lack of a better term. You can see there is a zero tolerance policy for nonsense. Is that having an effect on why they look so good?
I think overall, for sure, the zero tolerance for nonsense, the mindset, the vibe, which I think we talked about a few weeks ago that I really liked about this team. Yes, I think that's a huge, huge part of this. Now, I don't know that that necessarily means, okay, cause and effect. You get rid of Hassan Whiteside, you keep Deion Waiters out of the building, that immediately leads to the lack of nonsense. I think a big part of that was you bring in Jimmy Butler. You have him show up and do his 3 a.m. workouts. You have other guys who are buying into that, and there is this oneness. It's almost like the opposite of peer pressure, that everybody kind of buys into that. And so anybody who doesn't buy in will then stick out like a sore thumb. And what I think you've seen with this team is they are going to be the toughest, best conditioned, you know, all of that stuff. But it's more organic than it's been in a while. It's not just, you know, Eric Spoelstra or Pat Riley standing up there saying we are going to be this. It's, we have embraced all of the Jimmy Butler experience, because the Jimmy Butler experience is Heat culture. It's what we've said we wanted to be for a long time. So I think it's kind of a little bit hand in hand. If you want to go chicken or egg, like maybe it's the fact that they have done all of this, then sent those guys away. It's all working together, whereas, you know, it's not that you just send those guys away and all of a sudden we're going to be tough and one-minded and working towards a common goal.
And Clay, in the backcourt now, Butler, Hero, Dragic, Nunn, Winslow's playing the one right now. Like, I can see Deion not really having a place. What about James Johnson? He's in shape now to let him travel. Does he have a place to fit into the front court rotation?
I don't think in the rotation right now, no. And that's where I think Spo said this morning that he's not going to force him into the rotation. I think what he was asked was, is James Johnson going to play tonight? And you know, I think the question was meant in the sense of, okay, is he good to go? Spo's answer was more about the rotation. Essentially, I think he's saying, look, you got other guys on this team that have earned those spots in the rotation. So I'm not just going to put James Johnson out there because he's ready to play. I mean, who am I going to pull? Chris Silva? And here's the other thing I like, guys, about the front court in particular, and actually the entire team, the roster. It all fits. You know, you've got – and the front court, I think, is a great example of this. Okay, so you start Myers Leonard and Bam Adebayo. You've got the stretch five and the four who can do, you know, all the dirty work, defense, athletic, get rebounds, all that. Then you go to the bench, and you bring Kelly Olynyk off the bench at the five, and Chris Silva is your four. So – you've got complementary big men there, whereas before you could not play Bam Adebayo with Hassan Whiteside. Their games were not complementary; they didn't match. And so now I think you've got that. So unless and until somebody gets hurt, I'm not sure where James Johnson would fit.
Clay Ferraro, Local 10. You watch him Heat tonight, by the way, on 790 The Ticket. What will be the candy that is given away tonight at the Clay Ferraro household for Halloween?
Well, I can guarantee you it's not candy corn. How has this become a thing? Candy corn is the worst on the face of the planet.
The
and I don't get how you have these candy corn stands, people who are like standing up for candy corn on social media. I almost think it's a big joke. How can you not only like candy corn, but put your name on the line for candy corn? Yeah. I'm going to fight somebody.
No, it's a fair take. It's a totally fair take. So what will you be giving away, though? Did you go the cheap route, you know, with the dum-dums and sweet tarts, or did you step it up, you know?
Sweet tarts are cheap.
Yeah, you know, the little two-pack. I'm talking about a little paper two-pack of sweet tarts.
Yeah,
there's one on top of the other. That's as cheap. Sorry. Like, step up the game, especially when you're seen, you know, every night on Local 10. So what's the Ferraro household giving out?
That's my wife does all that. It's kind of like when we picked our kids' names. I don't actually do any of the work, but I have veto power. So, like, she can go and get whatever she wants, but I'll just send her a text and say, no candy corn.
So what are you giving away?
I don't know. She's going to pick it up on the way home.
Oh, that's, you haven't even bought the Halloween candy yet?
Yes.
You know it's tonight,
no,
Clay.
No, she's going to get that right now.
Yeah. You keep it fresh.
Wait, is that tonight?
You get it the day of, the key.
I thought it was next Thursday.
I knew you were wearing that Saints jersey for no reason at all. All right. Clay Ferreira, watch him on Local 10. Thank you, Clay.
All right, fellas, take care.
There you go, a Ferrero side chat on Halloween Eve. That is your 15 minutes of heat.